This is a CBC podcast.
They can swim hundreds of kilometers in the blazing heat of summer through raging rapids that would defeat the strongest paddler. They fight their way up tall mountain rivers and leap waterfalls in a single bound. They're no ordinary fish. They're super salmon. Erica Eliasson is a PhD candidate in zoology at the University of British Columbia who has tested the super salmon and their not-so-super cousins in a fishy fitness lab. And her results show that their natural athletic gifts just might help them survive the climate change that threatens other sockeye salmon in BC's Fraser River. Ms. Eliasson, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Thank you.
Why were you doing fitness tests on fish?
Well, we've known for quite some time that high river temperatures have been associated with high in-river mortality in sockeye salmon. So I was interested in understanding the mechanism of this. So why are fish dying when the river gets hot?
How much hotter is the river getting?
Well, since the 1950s, the Fraser River has increased in temperature by about 2 degrees Celsius.
And what impact could that have on the fish?
So all fish have an optimal temperature, which they prefer to grow at, to live at, to swim at. And so once you get outside of their optimal range, they can't perform the same way.
Well, I heard that last year there was a record number of sockeye salmon in the Fraser River. So why should we still be concerned?
There's lots of reasons to still be concerned. Since the 1990s, sockeye salmon populations have been in decline. And so there's lots of reasons why some years there's more fish returning compared to others. But regardless, we still see lots of in-river mortality. So the fish that show up, many of them are dying before they get to the spawning ground.
Well, where did you get the fish that you were testing?
So we caught them really earlier in the migration. So they were only about 1 or 2 days upriver, about 200 kilometers upstream from the ocean.
So they'd already gone from their spawning grounds out to the ocean. Now they're on their way back. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay. And what kind of fish were you looking at?
So I was looking at 8 different populations that vary from either going only 100 kilometers, which are Weaver Creek salmon, to some that go over 1,000 kilometers, which are early Stuart salmon, and then a bunch in between, like Chilco, Quesnel, Nechaco.
Wow. Well, what kind of test did you put them through in your lab?
So we caught the salmon early on in their migration and brought them back to our lab, where we've got these two massive swim tunnels. What a swim tunnel is essentially like a treadmill for fish. They're huge. They're actually mounted on the back of a boat trailer, 8 feet tall, 15 feet long, and contain between 200 and 450 liters of water. They're connected to a motor and an impeller, and the motor just propels the water around and around and around in a circle, and the fish has to swim against the current. So it's just like a treadmill.
Right. And when you put them in this big tank, I mean, like, do you take them right to the max like they do on treadmills where they're, you know, sort of panting? Like, what happens?
Absolutely. So we put the fish in the tunnel at a nice calm velocity of the water, and we let them kind of get used to the swim tunnel, and then every 20 minutes we increase the speed until they can no longer keep up with the current.
Okay, so what did you find when you put the different kinds of fish in the treadmill?
Well, we found that each population can cope best with the temperature that they're typically experiencing in the wild. We also found that the fish that go further, so the ones that have to go these massive migrations 1,000 kilometers upstream, are super athletes. These guys are able to actually swim at a much higher velocity, and they have a higher aerobic capacity.
Wow. Now, what about the temperature of the water?
So it depends on what temperature they typically experience. So they can cope with the average temperature that they usually encounter in the Fraser River. But we did find that one population had an extremely broad temperature range. They could cope with really high temperatures as well as really cold temperatures.
Are these the so-called super salmon?
That's right. That's the super salmon population. So those are the Chilco fish. I'll just tell you a little bit about them. They enter the Fraser River in August when the water is warmest. They travel through Hell's Gate at the peak temperatures, so between 20 and 21 degrees Celsius. And then they turn left and head up into this glacial lake, and they actually spawn in glacial, really cold waters.
Wow, so they're going the farthest, and they go through the greatest temperature range of all the other fish.
They don't go the farthest, but they go the highest. So they spawn over 1,000 meters in elevation.
Wow. Now, Hell's Gate, that's a tourist spot. That's a huge rapid there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a narrowing of the Fraser Canyon, and it's a huge rapid all through that area.
Boy, and they have to go through that.
Absolutely.
So what is it that gives these fish their super abilities?
Well, we wanted to understand how Chilco compares to Nechaco, which is another population that goes really far. So we knew they were both super athletes, but for some reason Chilco had a much higher temperature tolerance. And it turns out that it's actually to do with their hearts. So Chilco have more adrenaline receptors compared to Nechako. Fish use adrenaline just like humans. So when you get an adrenaline response in humans, your heart beats really, really hard, really fast, like if you get scared. And the same principle applies to the salmon. So adrenaline helps the heart beat faster and harder.
So how is this an advantage to the fish?
Well, if it beats faster and harder, the adrenaline helps it cope with the either exercise or temperature extremes.
I'm just curious, how do you measure the heartbeat of a fish while it's swimming?
We actually attach leads onto the fish, so we can actually monitor their heart rate as well as their cardiac output.
What is it? Just a little probe on its side? I mean, I'm trying to picture this.
We instrument the fish, it's a little probe that wraps around their ventral aorta.
And they can still swim?
Absolutely. They can swim well. We swam fish with and without leads, and they had the same maximum aerobic scope, so the same maximum oxygen consumption, whether they had leads or whether they didn't.
Boy. So what does this mean then as the climate gets warmer and there's the possibility that the temperatures in the Fraser River could continue to climb?
Well, yeah, we do think that the Fraser River will continue to increase in temperature along the same trajectory. So this is obviously a major concern because already every population we examined, they encounter temperatures in the river that exceed their optimal range. So already temperatures, high temperatures in the Fraser are harmful to these fish. So if things get even worse, there's a lot of concern for conservation and biodiversity.
So who's going to be the winners and the losers here?
Well, we anticipate that Chilco will be the most resilient to climate change, where Weaver are going to be the most susceptible.
What's this mean for the fishing industry?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, there's possibilities for the fishing industry because we know when the fish approximately are in the river, so there's possibilities to adjust fishing practices based on who's in the river and what time of year it is, as well as the temperatures.
Oh, you mean let the weak ones go by and only catch the strong ones?
Potentially.
How far can this go? I mean, how much more warming could they take?
Well, that's really one of the big questions. We know that these fish can adapt to their environments, so there is possibility for them to adapt to these warmer temperatures. But the big question is, how quickly can fish adapt to these temperatures? So we don't know if they're going to be able to adapt quickly enough to cope with the current warming trend.
If the Chilco are the best adapted to this wide range of temperatures, could they be introduced into warmer areas?
Potentially as a kind of last resort issue if other populations went completely extinct. That is a possibility.
Ms. Eliason, thank you very much for your time.
No problem.
Erica Eliason is a PhD candidate in zoology at the University of British Columbia. Coming up next, multi-million-year-old mummies.
Looking for more CBC podcasts? Go to cbc.ca/podcasting.